It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast, covering and talking real estate pretty much 24/7. And you'll catch us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Hope your weekend is going well. If you were looking at some property yesterday, maybe you found the perfect home. Or perhaps today you're looking at some properties, whatever the case may be. You might be settling on some properties, transacting. If you are doing any of that, good luck. Coming up in just a moment, it's been another busy working week with real estate information and podcasts with all of our talking points. Last week, we kicked it off with Gazelle Powell. Of course, she's from Penrith, and she was telling us about her local real estate market. Margaret Lomas was back talking real estate this week. And we also spoke to Crystal from Donald Trump's beloved Florida. And she talks about the median house price, which sounds pretty good, $380,000. And Simon Kustenmaha, he is back and covering an interesting subject, talking about when parents should look at offloading the money to the children. And he has some very interesting ideas on when you should be doing that. And we also spoke to Asti. She has this report out. This is the Affordable Regional Areas report. And she does a little bit of a breakdown on that for us. So that is all coming up next on our Sunday morning.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or a first-time buyer, know your property with us on the Real Estate Podcast.
Now, you say that the median house price is $900,000. First home buyers, I think that they're targeting, aren't they, properties under 900K in your region, because there's some benefits that they can get.
Well, actually, that is amazingly that you mentioned that. It's actually true. And when you think of the 900, everyone wants to be in that price point for first home buyers because of the government initiatives. So they're getting a lot of with their stamp duties as well. So that's a lot of money to spend if you're not a first home buyer. And then you spend like with the stamp duty, it's pretty much times four of what you're buying. If you're buying a 900,000 and that's like 36,000 stamp duty.
Now, are you sort of seeing a bit of an uptick in people from other regions looking at the Penrith market and saying, well, this is a market that is offering all sorts of incentives for us? What is happening in 2024 around all of that?
We're seeing a lot of people, especially buyers from Sydney area, they are like migrating here. I think it's because of that price point that we mentioned a while ago. And Penrith is actually offering a lot of, like in terms of infrastructures and amenities here as well. So even if you work, let's say in Sydney or far away, there's a fast train for Penrith as well. And the other reason why most buyers from Sydney coming here, they know that the airport is coming as well. It's getting built. It's another reason why to, you know, choose Penrith.
So yeah, just picking up on the Western Airport and all of the infrastructure with that, how many sort of inquiries have you got? Or maybe it's more in a sort of a general comment, a conversation about, gee, the Western Airport, that's great, that's going to lift the area. Of course, people chase the infrastructure and that's a big one.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if, let's say, we just go to a supermarket, you bump into someone, they will just say, look, what's happening with Penrith area, right? And then you just say, oh, what's about the airport? It's a big news here. Everyone that live in Penrith, they know that will bring a lot of work as well, job opportunities, because of that airport being built there. It's just huge for us. It's just going to be huge.
And what about those people when they sell up in Penrith? Where do they go to? Where do they go to, do you think? Have you got a sort of a tracking idea on where they land after selling up in Penrith?
They normally go to Queensland, the Central Coast.
Wow.
That's very popular. Queensland is very popular for them. I've got some vendors that actually went to Adelaide and to Western Australia because they said that they can, the money that they have in here, they can buy property there that they can pay it outright. So they still have a little savings. But for some who really wants to stay here still in Penrith, even though they are most people, they're like most of my vendors, they are actually downsizing. Some of them either going to buy a small unit or a retirement. They will go to a retirement village. So that's where they're going.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on the Real Estate Podcast.
You'll find there are definitely regional areas that perform just as well as the city areas do over that time period. But one of the things about Mackay that we have to understand is that Mackay is essentially in the background there, a bit of a mining town. So it's very mining influenced rather than being an actual mining town itself. And we see a lot of people who work in the mines working and living in Mackay. The thing that worries me about these figures that come out saying that the employment rates are so low is that we're not far from when the employment rates in Mackay were impossibly high, and that coincided with a lull in our mining in Australia. We're now seeing a resurgence, another mining boom. If anyone holds any resource stocks at the moment, they'll know that they're doing exceptionally well. I personally invested a little bit of money in some resource stocks and now wish it had been a lot of money. Because they're doing so well. Off the back of that, we then see an uptick in employment. And what I'd really like to see in those unemployment figures is a breakdown of where the employment lies and whether we're seeing both local and fly-in, fly-out workers living there for the lifestyle, for the fact that they're closer to some of the big mines there.
And what about your take at the moment on investors? Because they are returning to the property market. Yesterday, I mentioned 4 out of 10 people taking out a mortgage are investors, are landlords, and there's a lot of landlords who have grown their portfolios substantially. You must know a number of these investors whereby since COVID, the number of property acquisitions that have come into the portfolio is pretty wild, is pretty crazy.
Look, empirically, we're seeing it definitely at Destiny because, you know, as you're aware, one of the things that we do is we help people to find property wherever it exists in Australia. So it's an interesting barometer because we're getting a huge influx of people who are getting us to help them buy property, but it's all over Australia. So people are wanting to buy everywhere. And it's not a surprise to me that we're seeing this uptick in investor interest. We're seeing a whole lot of things that have happened. First, if we look at the last 4 years, there's only one area, which is Adelaide, that has actually, Adelaide and Perth, which are actually now sitting at a higher average house price than they were before the COVID pandemic. And what we saw happen is we saw a bit of a fall in places like Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane. They have recovered, but they've only recovered to pre-pandemic levels, whereas Adelaide and Perth have both exceeded their pre-pandemic levels in terms of their house prices. So because of that, because we did actually have a downturn that no one really talked about, people kept only seeing where people were having this frenzied buying. Because we had that bit of a downturn, it suddenly opens up the market and makes it more interesting in investors, because normally during a crazy boom, investors will sit back and wait for a little while because it's a bit of a dangerous time to enter the market. If you're buying a property because you need it to yield well and you overpay in a crazy market, then that's going to impact directly on your yield. But what we saw happening during these post-pandemic times is we saw yields everywhere, so rental returns, real rental returns going up. And we've all heard about the rental crisis and the fact that rents have gone up incredibly in most parts of Australia. So suddenly we see our capital value's just moderating a little, but our rents have gone really well and they're still climbing. That's a very attractive proposition for an investor to be able to buy into a market where they're going to go back to the times where it's likely your rent return is going to cover your expenses and it's going to be a fairly cheap investment for you to have because there's no commitment from your own pocket.
Decode the property market with insider knowledge and insights to better navigate your real estate journey on The Real Estate Podcast.
Yeah, so affordability. So in general, you know, everybody wants to move to Florida because the weather is beautiful, but they all stop here or in Jacksonville, the northeast part of Florida, because it's affordable. And then as you go down the coast, you'll see it just gets more expensive and more expensive. And what's great here is we still have a lot of land to develop. Duval County in northeast Florida here is developed, but St. John's County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation. So that's our neighboring county. And now they're moving to Clay County. So there's a lot of opportunity for growth in northeast Florida, which helps make the prices somewhat affordable. And the property taxes are very low, and we have no state income tax. So we will get a lot of people from New Jersey, New York, and also we have freedom and you're working from home. So a lot of people from California, they're relocating here as well. So Jacksonville in general, we are making the news worldwide, and it shows. We have a lot of investors that are coming here, and over 2,000 people are moving here a day to Florida in general. So we are definitely on the map, and I don't see it going anywhere. I continue to see it getting better and better.
All right, so let's have a look at the Jacksonville, Florida median sales price, which I think is hovering around that 384K mark, is it?
Yes, correct. Yeah, and you're looking at an average about a $210 per square foot. And I don't see that going down at all. The construction costs to build a new home went up, skyrocketed in COVID, and they leveled out some, but they're not going down. But yeah, but that's about average. And I think affordability is here to stay, the affordability issue. And we're just going to see a slow, thankfully steady, again, nobody likes crazy. We have some stability, but steady increase in values.
And what about the days on market? I think that has gone up. Last year, it was in the 30s. We're looking now in the 40s, are we?
Yes, correct. You're looking at about 48 days, which still in the grand scheme of things, it really has to be, the home really has to be on the market for around 120 days to be considered fully a buyer's market. So again, we're seeing some stability and it's just not crazy, which is nice. I mean, 48, 50 days, and it could depend on the neighborhood and could be a little bit more. But to know that if your house is marketed properly and it checks all the boxes and it only takes 48 days to sell your house, that's still a strong market. My professional opinion.
Never ceases to amaze me how people just like to retain and hang on to that wealth as long as possible because they think, well, you know, when I'm dead, the kids get the money. Some people, for whatever reason, they like to see the bank balance with as many zeros in there, but it is far more better to sort of distribute your wealth to your kids when they're younger rather than when they're older. But that in itself is going to bring you a joy and a great deal of satisfaction before you croak it.
That's absolutely correct. Plus, your kids don't need your money when you die. Your kids are most likely in the late 50s or even 60s when you die, statistically speaking, these days. And by then, their own kids, your grandkids, have left the house. They don't need money. Families need money in the family formation stage, in the child-rearing phase of the life cycle, when they're in their 30s and 40s, when they're paying down the mortgage. When they are trying to get onto the property ladder. So the bank of mom and dad can do this. If you transfer wealth, it doesn't need to be an awful lot of wealth. It can be a relatively small share of your wealth, but it helps young people an awful lot. At about 5.3% interest rates, when you have a $400,000 mortgage, it costs you $800,000. A mortgage costs you exactly twice as much. That means if you minimize the mortgage of your kids by $100,000, you actually give them $200,000 worth of benefit in the time of the life cycle when they need it the most. So the bank of mom and dad is great for the kids. It's also great for the parents because you actually get to enjoy your wealth Plus, if you will, you get a better bang for your buck because helping out with $100,000 gets you about $200,000 worth of, you know, joy that you can spread to your family. That's all well and good advice, I would argue, on an individual level, and individuals should do this. But on a societal level, the bank of mom and dad is, of course, creating more inequality because not everyone has parents that can significantly contribute to a down payment or that don't want to. And so you then create a society that is more extremely split into a cohort that has asset-owning parents and a cohort that doesn't have asset-owning parents. And you then create this wealth distribution, this inequality in wealth distribution. And if I'm reading future policies correctly, all the young folks that are writing on policy are pretty clear that they want to tax wealth rather than income in the long run, meaning out goes the stamp duty, in goes a land tax. We'll see lower tax rates on income. We'll see higher tax on the death tax, inheritance taxes.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated.
So this particular report, it's one of my favorites because it gives everyone a much better overview of the whole country. A lot of the times we hear about the capital cities, you know, like Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Hobart, Perth, and not so much about what is happening in other places, so the regional areas. And this particular report, we looked at every single local council in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, and Tasmania. And we ran the data for their house prices, for their rental yield, their vacancy rate, economic growth, unemployment rate, the amount of projects that are coming into the area, the amount of new stock that is coming into the area. So we ran those data points for every single one of the local councils. And, you know, we basically nominated some of the places that does tick all of those boxes.
Yeah. And as I said, I mean, it's a great one for first home buyers. So let's kick into your affordable regional areas report. And first off, we are in Queensland, in Toowoomba, a regional city of west of Queensland, known for its Victoria-era buildings, street art, gardens, and the surrounding national parks. Toowoomba, I understand, recorded a five-year population growth of 15.8%. That is great news. What else can you tell us for our first home buyers?
Well, many people will also know Toowoomba as the flower city. It's definitely a great place to live. I visited Toowoomba quite a lot. It's about an hour and a half drive from Brisbane, depending on which way that you take it. Prices are still around that $500,000-$550,000 for a house. You get really good rental returns, 5% rental returns, vacancy rate at 0.9%. All of those type of things is the places that you're looking for as a first home buyer. And 10-year growth of about 67.2%, that's really great as well. And median prices grew by about 10.9% in the past 12 months. So this is definitely an up-and-coming regional area. We've seen growth in the past 12 months and 10 years. A lot of the times we don't see that because of the higher cash rates, etc. So definitely this is a gem when it comes to Queensland.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.